So the sermon series is about soul care, kind of taking care of the soul business that's right about here within each and every one of us. And so I'm going to ask you a few questions. That's just how we're going to start. I'm going to ask you this. When do you stop to give God praise during the day? When do you take time to reflect on the very goodness of God? Do you do it at maybe mealtime? Maybe bedtime. Maybe it's if you get up early in the morning, it's at sunrise. Or maybe it's in the evening during a sunset. Or maybe you're going to have to be really honest with yourself and say, I don't think I do. I don't take the time that I need to give God praise for his goodness. Or maybe you're going to be really honest with yourself and with me right now, and you're going to say, you know what? I am so filled with complaint at God. I am so filled with anger at God. I'm so filled with disappointment with God that I find little goodness with God right now. Let me say this. If you are at that place of deep pain and disappointment with God, if you are filled with that sense of lament, I'm going to say this. Lament's important. It's surely part of a relationship that we have with God. And I don't want to minimize or crush that lament. But I am going to push you a little bit. And I'm going to say this, that we need to also take time to give God praise for his goodness, to reflect on the very goodness of God. Let me give you some real life examples that you probably already know, some very everyday stuff that's going on. Any good relationship follows this pattern. And the pattern is this: the more positive feedback within the relationship, the healthier that relationship is. And the converse is true of that as well. The more negative feedback you receive in a relationship, the more dysfunctional that relationship becomes. In an article from the Harvard Business Review by Zenger and Folkman, they lift up this statistic within the idea of marriage. All right, for those of you who are married, think about this. For those of you who might be married and getting married, think about this. The ideal ratio of compliment to critique is 5-1. Yeah, I know some of you husbands just got the elbow, didn't you? 5 compliments to every critique. Think about that. I'm thinking about that right now. My wife is giving me an elbow, even though she's not here. Within the relationships of our closest people in our lives, we need to be complimentary. I mean, not saying lies, but lifting up the goodness that is in the other person. 5-1, that's a good marriage. Then you know what they did? They also took bad marriages. And they put that into a ratio. And they said relationships that are ending up in a divorce, here's the ratio. 3 compliments for every 4 critiques. Wow. You know what this article also began to give out? They said this isn't just the case with marriages, but this is also the case within an employment situation. Where do you want to work? A place where you receive compliments and the goodness that you are giving is being lifted up? Or do you want to be in a place where you are constantly critiqued? You want to be in a place, and the best work environment is where praise is given out rightfully. So what if I push this a little further? And I said, isn't this also true within our relationship with God? The more praise that we give God, the healthier the relationship becomes. Oh, there's still critique. There's still lament. But the more goodness that we find and see in God, the healthier the relationship is going to be. In other words, what we need to be doing within our lives is taking time to stop, taking time to give God praise. Psalm 145, it does exactly that for us. It is a psalm of incredible praise. I told this to Pastor Kevin, and he was so happy. Psalm 145, I said to Kevin, it's an acrostic. For those of you that know Pastor Kevin, you know he loves acrostics. It's the ABCs of praise. Each line is based off a letter in the Hebrew alphabet that just continually goes through praise after praise after praise of who God is in our lives. The founder of the tradition we follow within the Christian faith, it's called Lutheran. That's why we're called Hope Lutheran Church. But the founder, Martin Luther, he said this in one of his teachings. He said, at every meal, the family should sit down and they should read Psalm 145. And then say the Lord's Prayer. And then move on to the table grace. In other words, taking the opportunity three times a day to praise God for the goodness that's coming and flowing into our lives. What an incredible and awesome thought that we can begin to put into practice. Line after line in this psalm tells us about the very goodness of God. And when we read this psalm, let me tell you what happens to me. The weariness of the day begins to fade. Because no longer do I find myself focusing on what is wrong. But what is right? Let me read through this. And I forgot to prep the sound text, but let's get the text back up on the screen, if we can. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Did you hear that? I will praise your name forever and ever. All of a sudden, you're into eternal life. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. There's that whole eternal life thing again. That's about the goodness of God right there, and we're only in verse 2. Great is the Lord, the most worthy of praise of his greatness. No one can fathom. Have you looked at the universe lately? Have you looked at the photographs that come from the Hubble telescope? Have you looked at the incredible imagery and science that we can get out of the Hadron Collider in CERN, Switzerland? Wow. Think about the incredible greatness of God that he can hold all these tiny little subatomic particles together and at the same time the whole universe. One generation commends your works to another. Oh, I get to see that all the time. It's going on right here in this building in rooms not too far away. We're adults, and one generation is teaching the next about the very goodness of God. They tell of your mighty acts. You read the Bible, you hear about God's incredible acts where God works through infertility and to bring about a mighty nation. God works through a bunch of slaves to bring about a free people. God works through people who have no land to have a land so that there's a place for the Savior of the world to be born. God works through his Son, Jesus Christ. And has him live a perfect life so that he would take on the sin of the world on a cross. So that you and I would not need to take the burden of our sin, but that he would do it and he would die our death so that you and I can join him in resurrection. These are the mighty acts of God. And God says, I'm not going to abandon you. Once Jesus goes up into heaven, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit upon everyone who calls me by name. Oh, they speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. Think about that word, meditate. Taking time to dwell on how good God is. They tell of your power, your awesome works. They will proclaim your great deeds and celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Oh, you know what's awesome is when we're sitting up here in the front pew and all of a sudden we hear a whole congregation singing behind us. It's amazing. It's the goodness of God coming into the world. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. We have a God who is full of goodness, slow to anger, compassionate, rich in love upon every single person here on this earth, past, right now, and into the future, to the end of days. God is good. You see, when we focus on the goodness of God, this is what happens. Our praise enhances this relationship to God. So if we do have complaint, if we do have some lament with God, we are reminded of God's past faithfulness. And even in our lament, we can have hope and not be left in despair. In praise, we find that God is indeed good. And because of his goodness, we learn this, that we are loved. You are forgiven. You have eternal life. You carry within you the very image of God. You know what? You were created good. And God created you for good. And God calls you to mirror that goodness into the world. Because of this praise, we even learn what goodness is. We learn that God, that goodness isn't relative. It's not something that we make up, but it's just inherent in who God is, and therefore we get to bring God into the world, make him known. And as we praise God for his goodness, we learn what we are meant to be. That we too are meant to be creative, that we too are meant to do mighty acts, that we are called to be gracious, that we are called to be slow in anger, rich in love, good to all, and have compassion. Let me tell you how I do that. I do this with my boys. Some social scientists, they kind of say this, and I believe them to be true, that boys and girls grow up differently. They become adults, men and women, differently. Basically what they're saying is for boys, you need to be very, very clear. Girls somehow get it. So one of the things I do with my boys, they're now 4 and a half and just about 3 in a week. When I get to put them to bed, we talk about what it means to become a good man. Specifically, what does it look like to be a good man? And I've been doing this with my 4 and a half year old for about 3 years now, because that's when I started having to put him to bed when the other one was born. And the other one is now living in the same room as him, so we just kind of all do this together. And let me tell you, as I teach them what it means to be a good man, I'm also reminded what it means, and I too am one convicted, but also encouraged. This is what we do. 4 and a half year old gets this. He's got the list down. A good man is faithful to Jesus. That's how we start. Which means we take time to read our Bible. It means we pray. It means we sing. We sing praise to God. What it means is we go to church, we worship, and we love other people. And we say that a good man is strong. And we say that a good man is gentle. And that a good man is kind. And a good man is generous. And that a good man is wise. And then all of a sudden James says, I don't remember anymore. And that's good enough. You see, Jesus Christ makes you good. He died for you. He died so you would be forgiven. Now you are called to be like him in this world, to be good like him. As people of God, claimed by God, saved by God, empowered by God, people created in the image of God, and by the declaration of God being called very good, we too practice goodness. And one of the joys of being a pastor here is getting to stand in front of you and being reminded of how many of you practice the goodness of God in your lives. I see people here who do incredible service in this world. People who go over to Churches United for the Homeless and serve meals. I'm reminded of one particular person in our congregation who goes over to the New Life Center and manages a whole their whole inventory of things that the guys need over there for free. I'm reminded of the people who crank bolts on cars to be given away to women who need them. I'm reminded of the incredible generosity this congregation pours out week in and week out for specific projects, like what we're doing for the New Life Center, what we're doing for Churches United for the Homeless right now, but also for the sake and mission of this church. Week in, week out, I'm reminded of the goodness of you folks when you pass on the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to that next generation. When it comes down to adults taking time for children in Hope Kids, or taking time for young people in confirmation, or taking time for young adults in high school ministries, I see it all the time. You are practicing the very goodness of God. Let me ask you a few questions to get personal. God is good, and God has saved you. God has called you good. God has asked you to be his mirror in this world. So how are you being good like God and being creative? What are the mighty acts that are before you, that you are being called to do? How are you being called to be gracious to the people around you, your spouse, your children, your family, your coworkers, your employees, your employer? How are you being called to practice to be slow to anger? How are you being rich in love? How are you being good to all? And how is the compassion of God, the compassion that Jesus Christ gave to each and every one of you, how are you living that out? Take time to praise God. And take time to lift up the attributes of his goodness, so that it challenges you to do that goodness in the world. That exercise that I do with my boys, it'll probably end someday, because they will leave the house. I'm going to make sure of it. And it will be a sad day and a happy day. But I don't think I'm going to stop. A good person is faithful to Jesus. I'll remind myself. A good person worships and loves other people, is generous, is kind, is gentle, is strong, and is wise. How are you taking time to praise God for his goodness and reflect that goodness back into the world? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the goodness of the cross itself and the goodness of your son Jesus who bore it on his shoulders and was nailed to it. And thank you for the goodness that you give to us, his goodness, goodness that makes us shine for you. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, the one who shows us goodness, makes us good, and teaches us to do the same. Amen.